2. Hebrews chapter 2. And hold your place there. We'll come back to that in a minute. This will be my launching pad, Hebrews 2, and then we'll look at some other scriptures. I want to talk to you today about salvation. Salvation. Do you need salvation? I want you to consider that. Do you need? I don't want you to consider your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son. I want you to consider this personally to you. Do you need salvation? Let's back up and ask this question. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Has God convinced you in your heart that you are a sinner? If He has, the conclusion He'll bring you to that you need salvation, and then that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we just have one message. I'm going to preach to you the same thing I preached last night. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need salvation? I do. I do, and I'll tell you why. This need arises because of my sin. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against Him. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all together gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not the first one. So I need salvation because I'm a sinner, because of my condition. Secondly, the need arises because not only am I sinful, but God is most holy. God is most holy. One of the old prophets said, He's too holy to look upon sin with favor. How holy is God? You take a good look at what happened at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us, the wrath of God poured out upon Him. Because God, yes, He is love, but God is holy. You see, His love is His holy love. Thirdly, the need arises, salvation. Talking about salvation now. The need arises because I'm a sinner. The need arises because God is holy and will not and cannot look upon sin with favor. Sin must be punished either in me eternally or in my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the need arises because I can't save myself. I cut my teeth on works religion. Some of you know my story. I grew up in the Rocky Mountains and grew up a Mormon. And I cut my teeth on works religion. Do this, don't do that, do this, go here, dress this way, conform to this, rules and regulations, over and over and over again. And thank God that He didn't leave me in the bondage of works, that by His almighty grace He moved me from that bondage of religion and brought me all the way to Ashland, Kentucky. And guess who lived there? God's servant, God's preacher, who had God's gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gospel through that servant was sent to my heart, and he set me free. That's my story. Salvation with man is impossible, but with God, boy, His salvation is absolute, certain, and sure. And I'm so thankful for salvation that is in Him. Salvation of sinners, as it's described in God's holy word, it's all of God alone. It's the work of God alone. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That regenerating work of God is a glorious, marvelous work of God and a necessary work of God. It's all of God. It's a gracious work of God done not only for us. I love that Psalm 57 that talks about He performeth all things for us. And then the next verse said, He shall send from heaven. He sent the best there is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save us. He sent His Son to save us by His grace. The gracious work of God done for us God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a work done only not only done for us, but it's an irresistible work of God done within us. Within us. That work done within us. We're confident of this very thing. The apostle said that God who hath begun a good work in you, God, it's his work. He starts it. He finishes it. He'll carry it on. God who hath done a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. He will complete it. You see, salvation, that old term that we often use, and it's good. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of God. God has sovereignly chosen to give his glorious salvation to those given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant of grace. He speaks of that often. All that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me.
Amen.
They will come to me. And I will never perish, and I'll never cast them away. God had given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. It was for the elect of God that he established righteousness in his life. He honored all of God's law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill that law of God. I like that scripture in Isaiah 42 that says, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. He's doing that not for himself. He is righteous. He's doing that for us.
Amen.
That's the righteousness of God that's provided in the gospel. It's the righteousness that's of God. Blessed is that man whom the Lord will impute righteousness without works. Thank God. It was for the elect that he established that everlasting righteousness that he freely gives to his people. And that righteousness is revealed in the gospel of God concerning Christ. It was for the elect that he died to redeem them from all their sin. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. He died for a particular people. He died for his sheep, his elect. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And my friend, his death is absolutely successful to the glory of God. So much so, how do we know that? Well, when he by himself purged our sin, put away our sin, God raised him from the dead, and he's enthroned in glory, and he's sitting on the throne, reigning and ruling as our mediator, giving salvation to his covenant people. He died successfully. His death was not defeat, it's victory. He secured everlasting salvation with his death. His elect will be regenerated by his glorious grace. And this is something that's not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but it is of God. We're born of God. Of his own will begat he us. Is there a will involved? Yeah, he is. He makes us willing in the day of his power. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's God that shows mercy. Salvation. This is the salvation that I need. Now, you have Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them leak out as a running vessel. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. Now, I want to give you four words that describe this salvation. Here's the first one. How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation. This salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a great, great salvation. It's so great. The excellency and the beauty and the glory of this salvation is described by this word. It's not a so-so salvation. It's great, vast, mighty, eternal, enormous salvation. You see, we're saved by the great God. The great God. This salvation, this great salvation, comes by our great God, who is the captain of our salvation, who's bringing many sons into glory, as it says there in verse 10. He's the captain. He's bringing his sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through his suffering. He's the architect, the originator of this great salvation. It's not the invention of men. It's the purpose of God Almighty. It's great because of the cost of it. Oh, the cost of it. You consider the cost of it. God bought us with His own blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's great because of the cost of it. It's great in the fact that it's successful.
Yeah.
It's successful. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And I love that verse in Isaiah 42 where it says that He shall not fail. He can't fail because of who He is, God Almighty. It's great because of the cost of it. It's great because of the success of it. He said it is done. Salvation is not what you must do. Salvation is done in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great because of the power of it. Power. The gospel of Christ, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew and to the Gentile. In that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And I tell you this, it's great danger. It says there, how shall we escape if we neglect? God help us. God help you never to neglect this salvation. Here's the warning. Turn over, if you will, to Hebrews 10. You see, this is a great salvation, the great cost of it. The great God planned this salvation, the success of it, the power of it. And it's dangerous, very dangerous, to neglect this salvation. Don't neglect this salvation. Would you consider it? Would you meditate upon it? Look at this warning here. Hebrews 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing? Wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite to the Spirit of grace. Would you trample on the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ and dismiss it? And try to approach God apart from this sacrifice? It would be absolute foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. To try to approach God apart from this covenant sacrifice of Jesus Christ is madness. I can't think of a better word. It'd be crazy. You're a fool. You're an absolute fool. To try to seek salvation apart from Christ Jesus. So, let's not neglect this great, so great salvation. Now here's the second word. So the first word is, it's great. It's great. This great salvation saves great sinners. And that describes me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the chief. Turn over here to Hebrews 5. Here's the second word. Hebrews 5. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the thing which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. This is eternal salvation. It's great. And it's eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Salvation is an eternal work of God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. God hath declared from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. He declared the end from the beginning. It's the eternal salvation of God. It was devised, secured, predestinated, purposed, perfected in the covenant of grace before the world began. Sin didn't sneak up on God. The fall of Adam didn't sneak up on God. Before Adam ever fell, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a surety, as a mediator, as a guarantor of that covenant. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God determined in eternity to have a people and to save them by the means He predestinated.
Amen.
He predestinated not only the end, but the means to arrive at that end. Now here's your pastor's favorite scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. Did I tell him right? Okay. 2 Timothy 1:9. Verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear," this is 2 Timothy 1:7, "but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Who saved us? Who saved you? Huh? If you're saved, you have to say, "Well, God saved me." And He didn't do it by accident. He did it by purpose. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. You see, we're creatures of time. With God, there is no time. It's just the eternal present. Turn to another scripture over here that deals with that. Titus. Titus chapter 1. I'm saying that God purposed salvation in eternity, and what God purposed in eternity, He accomplishes in time, in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. It's God's eternal purpose that any of us are saved by His grace. Titus chapter 1, look at this. Paul, verse 1, Titus 1, 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began but hath in due times his time manifested His word through preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's an eternal salvation. And my friend, when He saves us, He doesn't save us on a temporary basis. It's not a salvation that we have one day and we lose. It's a salvation that's an everlasting salvation. What does it mean when He says, "I give them eternal life"? That means eternal. We have eternal life, eternal salvation. You see, He's the author of this eternal salvation. Now, here's the third word. I've only got four, so don't. There's many words I could give you to explain this. We could be here all day. That wouldn't be a bad idea. One night, Paul was long in preaching, and some of them fell asleep. He preached all night. Here's the third one. Jude, turn to the book of Jude. I tell you, we're so frail and feeble. We're so connected with time. I have a 15-minute radio program. I have a 30-minute Bible study. And I try to preach 30 minutes or less. Well, I just forget those things and just preach. It does. It just binds you up. Last night I got up here and after Joe preached that great message, and I thought to myself, you're wore out. You've been here all day. You've listened to three sermons, and now here's my turn, and I really kind of felt sorry for some of you. I know I'm a sorry preacher, but I have a great message. I tell my dear pastor, Pastor Mahan, I said, "I know you're a better preacher," and he is. He's the best. But I also tell him, you can't preach a better Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the third word, common salvation. Jude. Just one chapter of Jude there, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. So it's great, it's eternal, and it's common. Now this word here doesn't mean it's ordinary. It just means that this salvation, all of God's elect have this in common. It's a common faith. He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's a common salvation. It's a common salvation. All of God's elect receive and experience and possess the same salvation by the glorious grace of God through faith in Christ. Common to all of God's people. All believers receive the same spiritual blessings that are common to all of God's elect. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus, according as He chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. You see, we have this in common. We're chosen of God, loved of God, blessed of God, and given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have common faith. We have common faith. You see, it comes from one source. One source. Faith, the gift of God, is not a product of the flesh. It's a product of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's the gift of God. We have one faith, one common faith, one source, one foundation of faith. What is the foundation of faith? Well, I just feel like I'm saved. You probably lost. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. Feeling come and feeling go and feeling are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Who said that? Luther, wasn't it? Yes, right. One source, the gift of God. One foundation, the Word of God. And my friend, one object. Faith doesn't look in here. Faith looks to Christ. Is that right? The Lord Jesus Christ. All believers are loved with the same common covenant love. He loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, He draws us to Himself. They're all bought with the same blood. Being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him. We're all justified by the same righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. We're all called with the same gospel. There's just one. God uses that one message that's truthful, that gives Him all the glory and salvation. That gospel that's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His glorious work. They're all called by the same gospel, and they all possess the same grace now and glory hereafter, and they all have the same hope.
Yes.
It's a good hope. It's a sure hope. It's a good hope through... What is the rest of that? It's a good hope through... Grace. Grace. Everlasting consolation and a good hope through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how He saves us. So it's great. It's eternal. It's common. And here's the last one. It's His salvation. Turn to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, you remember the story of Simeon? The story of Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Verse 25, Luke 2. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, that is the Messiah, when his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. Even in his infancy, he was obeying the law of God.
Amen.
Then he took him up in his arms. I can just imagine Mary, Joseph coming in. Here's a little baby. And Simeon says, you know how oftentimes we'll go up to a lady, mother that's had a new baby, and you'll go up and say, well, can I hold him? And I believe that's what Simeon did. Can I hold him? And she said, well, yeah, here. And he took that babe up in his arms, in his face. Ah, he said, look what he said here. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to your word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation's in him. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, it's all in him. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. It's looking to Christ, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. 1 John chapter 5, look at this. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And here's God's record. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. What does that say there? And this life is in his Son. Not in the church, not in the pool, not in your profession. Salvation's in him, in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Not salvation. Not salvation, no forgiveness. You see, by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's his salvation. Thy salvation. If God has given you grace to believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as all your salvation, all that Christ is and has is yours forever.
Amen.
Now you think about this. That which is true of the head is true of the body. The Lord Jesus Christ is our head. And that which is true of him is true of his body. He is life, and those in him have life right now.
Amen.
Right now. To you who believe, he is precious. I'll close with this scripture if you would turn to Psalm 70. Let such as love thy salvation. Look at this Psalm 70, verse 4. Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually. Let's say this continually. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. The believer, you see, we're in love with him. We're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer loves God's salvation because of the experience of it in our heart, because of the method of it by his grace, because of the sureness of it, ordered in all things and it's sure, because of the completeness of it, but most especially because of the person. We love him. And we're singing that song eternally unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. To him be all the honor and glory both now and forever. And they said, amen. Now, do you need this salvation? Huh? I pray you see your need. And if you don't, I pray that God will show you your need of Christ. He's able to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. I thank God for your pastor, and I thank God for you. Okay.